Well, hey, good morning, church. Good morning to everyone who's joining us online. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us today. If you don't know who I am, my name is Eric. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I do have the privilege of bringing you guys, all of you, God's word today. Well, before we jump in, just a few announcements as we kick off this new sermon series. The first one is this. Starting next week, we're actually going to increase our capacity to 50%. So right now, we're at 25% capacity, which is roughly around 50 people or so. But next week, we're going to be starting at 50%. And the reason for this is several. One is because, first of all, Jay Inslee announced this past week that there will be a potential full reopening of all businesses, shops, restaurants at 100% capacity starting in June 30th. In addition, if you've been following with California and New York, Washington State usually follows along with them. I believe starting on May 19th or somewhere, New York started opening up fully their subways and whatnot. California, I believe, is going to start somewhere in June, mid-June. They're going to reopen everything fully as well. And so we're just preparing for the same thing. I was reading this week actually a New York Times article, and it was actually called "The Pandemic Is in Retreat." And, you know, the New York Times has been very, very conservative on this issue. But they even wrote an article this past week saying that the pandemic is in retreat. Of course, it's not over. Of course, overseas, things are still going, as we just pray, coronavirus is still going strong. But here in the U.S. and in the States, especially in Washington, California, and places like New York, the virus is beginning to retreat a bit. And so we feel much more safer reopening things. We are going to be asking every single person to remain masked, though, during this time. I know the CDC did lift guidelines on this for fully vaccinated individuals. But some of you might be saying, well, the science bears it out. If you're vaccinated, you don't really have to mask. And we know all these things, but really just as a way of hospitality and welcoming as a church, we want to make sure that everyone who comes in through these doors just feels safe. And so we know that, you know, masking is one way we can do that as a church. And so we are still going to require masks in the near future, even as we gather together. Additionally, you know, please bear with us. Be gracious. I mean, this is the first time we've ever experienced something like this, right? And so we're navigating this. Be gracious to one another. Some people need other people to be masked. Some people are less conservative about that. They're like, well, you know, I'm willing to just go unmasked. But whatever the case is, we can all agree on this, right? This is the first worldwide pandemic that we've ever been in, right? And so we need to be gracious to one another, be gracious to the church as we work this out together, you know? So we are going to continue to ask you to be masked, even though the CDC has taken away those requirements in some sense, okay? Well, with that said, one last thing I wanted to mention is two days ago, I think on Friday, we sent out a survey. This survey is completely 100% anonymous. I believe that's what Monkey Survey is all about. We can't go back and trace your IP addresses. So please go ahead and take that survey for us. That survey is really about how many people in our church are vaccinated. We just wanted to get a general sense of how many people in our church are vaccinated or not. And so good news is I think about 100 people completed that survey, and I think something like 96% of people are vaccinated at our church as the information stands right now. But again, we can't trace this. We don't know who's answering. We don't know what, somebody could have answered literally 99 times. We wouldn't have known. That just goes to show you how limited that is, because it is completely 100% anonymous. But we did want to kind of see where our church is at, because Washington State, I believe, is at like 53%, like at least partially, everyone's partially vaccinated. But here at our church, we thought it might be a little bit higher, which it definitely was after that survey. But please go ahead and fill out that survey whenever you have time. All right. We are jumping into a brand new series called Relationship Status. I'm super excited for this one because we're going to be talking about not just marriage and dating, but we're going to be talking about all the different aspects of relationships in our lives. And so this week in particular, we're going to be actually looking at our relationship to the church. What does it mean to be a church person or a person who's a Christian? And what's my relationship supposed to be like to the church? Next week, we're going to touch upon this topic of friendship. And then the following week after that, we're going to talk about our relationship to ourselves, actually. And this doesn't just go to single people. This goes to people who are married as well as dating. We have to know how to be relationship with not just others, but even with ourselves in order to have productive, healthy relationships with other friends and other spouses and dating partners as well. And then in weeks 4, 5, and 6, 4, we'll touch upon dating. 5 and 6 will touch upon marriage. And I really highly encourage everyone, even if you're single and you know, maybe you're not in a relationship, to please tune in for that, to make sure you come out. Because one pastor put it like this to me. He says, you know, we study like 20-something years to do our jobs, right, which we end up doing for about 30 years or so of our lives. We study 20-some years to do something for 30 years. But he says we spend at least, you know, if we do get married, we'll spend at least 30 to 40 years in that marriage, hopefully. But we only study like 6 weeks previous to that marriage to do some premarital counseling. And so we need to study these things. We need to learn what Scripture has to say about marriage so we can better equip ourselves, especially in this very, very important relationship. And so, again, I'm really, really excited for this. Please come back. Stay tuned, especially if you're tuning in online, because each sermon will actually build upon each other. This is one of the series where we're really building off one another. And of course, the main central premise of all of this is that in the center of it, not at the peripheries, but at the center of every great relationship is Christ Jesus. It's our relationship with Christ that begins first, really, really great and joyous and wonderful relationships all around. So please stay tuned for that. Well, again, as I mentioned today, we're going to be talking about our relationship to the church. Okay, and really what I want to touch upon today and is something called church membership, okay? Now, I know what you guys are thinking in your heads, especially if you're tuning in online at home. You're probably thinking, like, what do you mean by membership? That sounds so exclusive. That sounds like a country club. Or, like, what are you talking about in terms of membership? Is it like Costco or 24 Hour Fitness where I have to pay money to receive services? Is that the kind of membership? And to all of those questions and above, no. Absolutely no. It is nothing like Costco. It is nothing like a country club type of membership where it's exclusive. But really where this comes from is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be talking about the members of a body, which is what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about, right? And look at what Paul says here, right? We'll read the whole passage, but let me just highlight this. In verse 12 of chapter 12, he says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And that's the members that we're talking about. That's the membership that we're talking about, is this one body with many, many members, okay? So what I'm going to do today in this sermon is I'm going to detail for us what church membership looks like, because one of the questions that I've been getting a lot is, hey, you know, now that you're a lead pastor, what's like the first big initiative that you're going to do, you know? And I tell them, hey, you know, really at the end of the day, I want to make this church really, really healthy, really, really rock solid healthy. You know, for those of you who are new to our church or tuning in for the first time, you know, our church did, just very transparent, we went through a rough season. When I first came here 2 years and some months ago, man, were we in bad shape. There was a lot of things happening, and for those of us who have been here, we know it was a rough time, right? And so now this is a time in our season where we want to establish healthy rhythms, healthy things in our church, healthy foundations so that our church can begin doing gospel work, gospel ministry, because it's not about one single person here, but it's about all of us collectively doing church together, being on mission together, and doing this in a healthy way, right? So we could do like little manipulation stuff where we like, you know, do these campaigns or whatever, but I'm interested in laying down healthy things for our church so that we have a great future together. Okay, and that's really what membership is all about. It's something healthy for our church that we can begin growing together. One last final thing before we actually jump into the passage itself. Membership is a little bit hard to describe, okay? Unless you've been a part of a church that has a healthy membership, it's really hard to describe. It's sort of like a few weeks ago I was talking about the nugget, right? I was telling you about this thing called the nugget that all the parents want to get. Well, in some sense, it's hard for me to describe that to you. You just kind of have to see it for yourself. And in some sense, I'll describe what membership is. I'll do my best to tell you why it's important and also how you can actually become a member of our church. But at the same time, it's going to be hard for me to actually detail accurately what it is. You'll just have to experience it for yourself. You'll just have to kind of take the classes, if you would, because one of the first steps of membership is to take a class, okay? So just trust me. I'm, you know, two years and some months, you know, I've been, you know, hopefully building trust with each and every single one of you, and I'm sort of cashing in all of my trust chips here, okay? I'm spending it all on this thing called membership, okay? So if you trust me, and if you trust me as your leader, I'm telling you this is something that's really, really healthy for our church, okay? So with that said, we have 3 points. What is church membership? Secondly, why is it important? And then thirdly, how do I become a church member? Okay, and the last point is very, very practical, okay? So what is church membership? How is it important? And how do I become a church member? Okay, with that said, if you're able to, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to read verses 12 to 27. I'll read this in the English Standard Version. Again, if you could rise as we read God's word together. I'll read this for us. I'll say, this is the word of the Lord. If you could respond with thanks be to God, I'll pray for us, and then I'll seat you right there in your chairs. And especially if you're at home, please do rise as we read God's word. This is a time where we revere, where we say God's word is holy, and so we want to stand in reverence of it, okay? So this is the reading of God's word. For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Let me continue on. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving it greater honor to the part that lacked it. This is the word of the Lord. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, Father, we thank you, God, for this scripture, for this passage together. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us here, just really making these words alive in our hearts today. Lord, we do pray and ask, God, that your Spirit would give me the strength, Lord, to preach. Would you give us as a congregation to listen? And Lord, may we build a healthy church, Lord, that loves you, that seeks you, and desires to do your will. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated at home and here in the sanctuary. So first point, what is church membership? I told this story a while ago, but I'll tell it again. I played football in high school, and there was this one drill that we would do where essentially linemen would line up about 6 feet. We'd socially distance, essentially, and then we'd run at each other as hard as we possibly could and just smash heads. That's one of the drills we had to do. And I remember this particular time I went up against my friend Jeremy, who's a 6'4", half white, half Samoan dude. Big, impressive strength, and I was really scared to hit him, but I just launched out. I ran at him as hard as he could. He ran at me as hard as he could, and we just smashed heads, right? As soon as I got hit in the helmet, I remember feeling this vibration come from the top of my head to the bottom of my spine. And I remember being so shooken. I wasn't even in pain. I was just so shooken that when I was walking back, I remember trying to lift my left arm, but I couldn't. Like, my left arm would not respond, so I just kept trying to, like, do this. But I was like, why can't I move my arm? It's not responding to what I wanted to do. And so I told the coach, hey, coach, my arm is not doing anything. He's like, what do you mean? I said, it's not doing anything. Like, I can't tell it to do something. And he says, well, go sit out for a while. So I had to sit out for a number of minutes until I slowly regained motion in my arms. But until that point, I couldn't do anything. I was incapacitated. I couldn't complete the mission of a football player, right? I just had to let my arm sort of sit there. And in some sense, the reason why I'm telling you this story is because similarly, right, if the body does not respond to the head, we cannot complete a mission. We cannot complete a task. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, right, we're a church that's on a mission. We have something to do. Of course, we're here to worship God, but at the same time, God has placed us here for a mission. And if we don't function together as one body, we cannot complete the mission to which God has given to us. And so this is what Paul is really getting at here, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about unity. If you read throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians, right, the main message that Paul has is unity, unity, unity. Right? If you look at the very beginning, he's saying, look, some of you follow this guy Apollos. Some of you guys follow me. Some of you guys follow Peter. But hey, guess what? All of us follow Jesus Christ. Like, so forget about all these different pastors and who you follow, what denomination you're a part of. We're all one body. And then later on, he talks about the Lord's Supper right before this. And he says, look, some of you guys are using the Lord's Supper to divide people. The rich people get to eat first. The poor people get to eat second. And you leave them the scraps. You guys are disunited. Stop being that way. Be united. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they're arguing about the gifts of the Spirit. Some of them are saying, look at me. I can prophesy. I can heal. I'm awesome. And other people were like, well, I can kind of speak in tongues. Like, I can kind of, like, do these administration things. And I'm not that impressive. And he's saying, look, it doesn't matter how impressive your gifts are or how low your gifts are. It doesn't matter. All of you are one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. All of you are important. All of you are necessary. All of you are needed. But we have to be united. And this is what church membership is all about. First thing church membership is all about is unity. We have to be united together as one body, working and functioning as one body for one purpose and one mission. In order for us to be a healthy church, a healthy body that is able to be on mission, we have to be united. And this is why our church membership begins with a class. Okay, in the future, starting in August and September, we're going to offer membership classes, and we want you to take them if you want to become a member, because we have to get you all on the same page. What is our mission? What is our vision? What is our theology? Where are we going together? Because we have to unite you all together so that we can run together in one direction. If we're all going this way, this way, this way, this way, we will never accomplish the mission. We have to be united at the core. Also, in membership class, I'm going to teach you about what your role is as a congregation member, what your role is as a member of the church, and how we can all work together for this unity, okay? Here's a second thing church membership is about. It's about belonging. Membership is not only about unity, but it's also about belonging. Look at what verse 13 says, right? For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What Paul is saying here is this, right? I read all these commentators, and they're basically saying this. Paul is not talking about water baptism or spirit baptism. He's not talking about that. What he's talking about here is conversion. He's saying, look, when you converted to Christ Jesus, what happened is you not only declared Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, but in some sense, you were baptized into the body. Like, you cannot separate your relationship with Christ to your relationship to the church. And so when you converted, you became a part of the body. Not just, you didn't just have this relationship with Christ now, but now you have a relationship with the body. Let me give you an example of this, right? Imagine on your wedding day, okay? You get up, you stand before the pastor, and you're doing your vows. You vowed to be husband and wife all the days of your life till death do us part. Amen. And then you guys have this great reception, great celebration. Then at the end of the night, husband and wife go back to their own homes. Right, they go back to mommy's home and daddy's home, and they keep living there in their mommy and daddy's home. Imagine that. Right? And sometimes this does happen, right, because of reasons, right? You know, I've seen certain couples get married, and for a year they have to live separately or something just because of organizational differences, right? But that would not be a permanent state. When you get married, you're not only agreeing to, like, love this person, right, but you're also agreeing to live with each other, to actually be together physically in one space. This is sort of what you're agreeing to. And in some sense, when you agree to that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're not just agreeing that he's going to be your God, but you're saying your bride is now going to be my people. I'm agreeing that you're not just my Lord, but your bride is my people. And I belong to them, and they belong to me. Look, here's another way of putting it, right? Imagine this. Imagine a home, okay? You are not the furniture of the house. Okay, you're not the dining room table, you're not the coffee table, you're not the rug, you're not the television, you're not the whatever, right? You're not the furniture in the house. You are the house. You're the roof. You're the floors. You're the door, right? You're the structural beams that hold up the house. You are the house because you belong to the house and the house belongs to you. You're not the furniture. You're not decoration. You don't just fill up these seats in the church, but you are the church. You see that? And this is what Paul is saying. Look, when you're baptized, when you convert to Christianity, you're no longer just a furniture piece in the house. You've actually now become a part of the very home that you're in. Here's a third piece of membership. Church membership is also a covenant. It's a promise. It's a vow. And one of the things that we're going to ask members to do in church is to actually make a vow, just like marriage. Right, think about this, right? In every single relationship in life, you have to begin that relationship with a vow, with a commitment, with a covenant. Any relationship without a commitment, any relationship without a vow is going to be a relationship that will ultimately disintegrate and be destroyed. I'm telling you this. I'm serious, right? Think about this, right? What happened during the pandemic? All of a sudden, there was a societal agreement between all of us that when you meet each other, we both have an agreement that if I stick out my hand and I want you to shake my hand, that you would agree to stick out your hand and shake my hand too. That's sort of a societal agreement that we've all made, right? Unspoken. But when the pandemic hit, all of a sudden, this handshaking thing was taken away from us. And so what did we have to do? We had to redefine the terms. We kind of had to have this cultural, societal sit down and DTR the relationship and say, okay, from here on out, we're going to do fist bumps. We're going to do elbow bumps, all right, everyone? Like, we're going to do air high fives. This is how we're going to greet each other. We had to have an agreement once again. In friendships, in dating, we have DTRs, do we not? And it oftentimes gets kind of awkward, right? Because we have to talk about these unspoken agreements that we have. Even in friendships, we have to do this, right? Sometimes, like, maybe you're, like, hosting always, and you're bringing all the food, and you're always the one that's giving, and so maybe you have to sit down with your friend and say, hey, buddy, like, I kind of always pay for everything, man. Like, why is that? Like, I think there should be an agreement that we both kind of, you know, kind of give a little bit, you give a little bit, right? Isn't that the agreement? But I feel like I'm just kind of giving. We do this in dating as well, right? We call this DTR. Hey, what are we doing? Are we just like having fun, or is this moving towards a marriage? What's the agreement here? And in the same way with church, when you are a part of this community, what we're asking is, hey, like, let's be very transparent and vocal about what we're agreeing to here. Because if we want you to be a part of this community and this community wants to be a part of you, we have to have an agreement, a relationship, a vow, a covenant that's set between us. And so not only will there be classes, but in some sense, what we want you to do is make promises, just like marriage. Hey, I'm going to love this church. The church will love me. I'm going to serve this church, and the church is going to serve me. There's going to be this mutual relationship between member and church person. And in this beautiful vow or this covenant will emerge a healthy church membership, right? And this is what we want. If you look all throughout Scripture, God is always making covenants with his people, starting with Adam to Moses through Jesus with the new covenant. There's always a vow, a promise that Christ makes with his church. And in the same way, he wants us as church members to make a covenant with him and with each other as we function together in community. Here's the fourth thing membership is all about. Church membership is about serving and not being served. It's about serving and not being served, okay? There is this myth out there, right, that church is for me, okay? One of the things that we're going to do in this relationship status series is we're going to talk about myths, and then we're going to debunk those myths, okay? One of the myths is church is all about me. It's all for me, right? Even we have this thing called church shopping, right? If you move to a new city or you get frustrated with your church, you go to a different church and you start church shopping. And this act of church shopping is not bad. It's not bad. I want to put that out there right now. It's not bad. But I think the framework by which we think about church shopping is bad. Let me show you what I mean, right? When most people think about church shopping, they think this. Okay, I have to go find a church that will be spiritually nourishing for me, for my family, so that I can grow. And that is definitely very, very important. Don't get me wrong. But that is secondary to what the primary thing should be. When you church shop, you should not be asking, is this a church that will feed me spiritually? But your question should be this. Is the mission, vision, and theology as such that I can serve Christ through this church? Can I serve Christ through this church? Can I love Christ all the more through this church? Can I lay down my life for the people of this church? Can I get along and really move along in this mission together with this church? That should be our question. Not, okay, like, is this, you know, are the sermons good? Is the worship good? Is the vibes good? No, can I serve and really serve Christ and the church through this particular mission, vision, and theology of the church? When Paul talks here, right, he talks about how if one suffers, all of us suffer. Right, if one part of the body suffers, all of us suffer. And in some sense, this should be our attitude towards service. The reason why we decide to serve, the reason why we decide to give is because we're saying, look, it's not about me. When one member of the church suffers, all of us suffer together. When one member of the church is broken, all of us are broken. When one member of the church is exalted and lifted up, man, all of us are lifted up and encouraged in some sense. And so this is what we want to do here at this church is we want to make this a place where we're serving one another. Here's the fifth and final thing church membership is. Church membership is a free will choice of surrender and submission. Okay, I know that's a heavy, heavy word, submission, right? Now, here's this thing that happens in our society, okay? There's this new thing emerging called DIY. You guys have all heard this, right? Do it yourself. And what do-it-yourself has done, right, is it's empowered people to kind of take on responsibilities for themselves. So, for example, if you want to fix your garage door, you can DIY that. If you want to fix your light bulb, you can DIY that, right? If you want to fix up a good meal, you can DIY. If you want to sew, whatever, DIY everything, right? Saves you money, right? You can put it together yourself. You don't have to rely on these big corporations to do it for you. And in some sense, what's happened in our culture is DIY has moved into the church. I can do-it-yourself faith. I'm going to DIY my own faith and my own spirituality. And so for some of us, especially for those of you tuning in online, you might have said to yourself, wait a second, I don't need the church. I can find the best preacher online, just listen to them. I can gather a few friends together and create my own small group, and that's church. That's fine. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself spiritually. I'll pray by myself. Maybe I'll have a few friends that I confide in. I'll listen to a pastor on Sunday, but that's church for me. And in some sense, we've taken DIY, we've placed it in the church, and this is a paradox, friends. You cannot do church like that. And the reason why is because at the core of church is this idea of submission, surrendering and submitting to a greater body and to leaders that are above you. And you cannot do that in a DIY context. You just can't. If you're DIYing something, guess who's at the head of it? You are. You have no accountability. There's no system around you to support you. There's no one you're constantly having to come under because what? You are at the top of the DIY food chain. You build your church. You build your friends. If you don't like this friend because he's not acting the way you want him to act, you kick him out of your church, right? If this pastor's not saying the things that you don't want him to say or for her to say, then you say, get rid of this pastor. Forget them. I'm going to listen to a different pastor now. You never submit and surrender. It's like somebody saying, hey, I'm going to have kids. I'm gonna do this biological miracle of having kids without the opposite gender. Like, it's impossible. You can't do it. And in the same way, it's impossible to do church. It's impossible to have church without leadership, without a body of believers alongside of you who you have to submit and surrender to. And all this is saying membership is free. It's a free will. No one's going to force you to do this, okay? If you choose at the end of the day to say, you know what, I love this church, I want to be a part of it, but I don't want to be a member, that's absolutely okay. You can make that choice all on your own. So what if I choose not to be a member? I'm sure many of you guys are asking that. Maybe it's your first time tuning in. Maybe it's your first time here at church. Or maybe you've only been here for like 6 months or maybe even a year and you're like, well, Eric, I just don't know if I can commit to being a church member. That is okay. That's okay. Because in some sense, I'll share this with you, right? It's actually better in the worldly sense of things to not be a member. In some sense, in a worldly perspective, it's better to not be a member. I'll tell you why. It's because you can eat all the fruits of the church. You can reap all the benefits of the church. You can do everything you want, right? Within this church, you can worship with us. You can go to community groups. You can serve. You can do all the things that you want to do at this church, okay, and not be a member. You can do it all. You can have all the fruits of community, of love and grace and forgiveness, and we want to give that to you. And this is why we need a healthy membership, though. Because if we're going to provide this for people who don't want to be members, we have to. This is what Jesus calls us to do, to serve and to lay down our lives, allow them to experience the fruits of our community, of our love, of our covenant, of our agreement, right? It's just like when me and my wife got married, we decided, hey, you know what? We're gonna utilize our household to bless other people. We're going to utilize our marriage, our agreement, our covenant, our love to bless others. And in some sense, we want the same for people who choose not to be members. We want the love that exists within our community and in our membership to actually bleed over to others. And so if you don't want to become a member, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. That is your free will and choice. But if you do decide to become a member, I'm telling you, it's actually going to be a little bit more difficult. We'll actually hold you accountable to serve and to sacrifice and to be a part of worship and to go to community groups. We'll hold you to these things because that's what it's all about. It's about a vow and a commitment and accountability and having that over yourself, okay? So secondly, why is it important? Let's move on to our second point, okay? So we just talked about what membership is, okay? It's a class, it's a vow where we're all coming together in agreement, right? To love, to serve one another, right? To be this body together. But why is it important, okay? Very, very brief point. There's two points to this, though. One is it's foundation for healthy church. And I sort of touched upon this already, right? It's foundational to a healthy church. Notice I didn't say it's foundation to the church, okay? The foundations to the church is Christ himself, right? It's Christ who's the foundations of the church. But the foundations to a healthy church will come in membership, actually. And this is somewhere where you kind of have to trust me a little bit, right? Imagine this, right? Imagine you go over to somebody's home and you notice their home. Wow, they have bright lights. They have great, a coffee table. Their home is really nice and amazing, right? And for many of you, you've experienced this, right? You've gone over to somebody's home and wow, great home. I'm very, very certain that none of you go to the foundations of the home and then you look at the foundations of the home and you say, wow, that's a great foundation you got to your home, right? None of you really say that. And in some sense, this is how church membership will work. It'll work at the foundational level. You won't think it's impressive. You won't think it's like, oh, wow, great membership, you know, but it'll work in the background. It'll work behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, it's a foundation. Any kind of health we want to build has to be built upon church membership. And in the same way, right, you can have nice lights, you can have nice home, you can have, nice wood or whatever, but unless you have a healthy foundation, you can't build anything on top of it. And in the same way, this is how church membership works, right? We won't be impressed by it. We won't say, wow, this is amazing. But at the same time, I'm telling you, we will feel the benefits of it as we begin to function in this membership capacity. The second thing is healthy for its foundation for healthy faith. Again, I want to reiterate this, right? You cannot grow outside the context of submission and covenant. You just can't. If you're DIYing your own faith, you will never be able to grow. Because guess what? If you're Lord of your life and you answer to no one, I'm telling you, you will never be disciplined. I mean, think about it. If you did everything you've ever wanted to do in your life, starting from when you were a kid to now when you're grown up, you would have destroyed your own life. You know what you would have done? You would have disobeyed your parents. You would have disobeyed your teachers. You would have disobeyed everything. And you would have never grown as a person. And in the same way, this is what we're saying to ourselves. Oh, I don't need anybody to be over me. I don't need anyone to be to submit to under anybody in order to grow spiritually. And that's never been the case in any field, in any context. In every single context and field, we say you have to submit to your parents. You've got to submit to your teachers. If you want to grow educationally, if you want to grow physically, you got to submit underneath a trainer, right? You got to submit to grow. And in the same way, right, if you're not submitting to a larger body, to church leadership, I'm telling you, you will never grow. It's not healthy for you. Imagine this, I apologize for this vivid imagery, but if I cut your hand off, your hand will die. Why? Because it's apart from the body. Right? I'm not saying that it's going to guarantee that you have a healthy hand, but at the same time, your hand cannot be alive if it's not attached. And in the same way, this is true of church membership. If it's not attached to covenant, to community, to a body of believers, you will never, ever grow in your faith. You'll never, ever grow. Okay, so last point. Okay, third point. How do I become a church member? Okay? Look, this is going to get very, very practical now, okay? The first thing is this, okay? Because Paul talked about this idea of being baptized, right? Becoming a believer. One of the first things to church membership is that you have to be a believer. Now, this is not to say it's exclusive, right? It's a club or anything. But again, in order for us to be unified, we have to understand, right, that we all worship the same Lord and Savior. And so in some sense, in order for you to be a church member, you have to be a believer. You have to have this experience of conversion and of baptism. And so this is why if you do become a church member and you're a believer, but you have not been baptized, we're going to baptize you. Or we're going to at least ask you, hey, like, if you're going to become a church member, you have to be baptized, okay? The second thing is you have to be 18 years and older, okay? And this is just an age requirement that we've placed there. This is nothing coming from the Bible, but it's just sort of wisdom. We want adults to be members. And this includes you, college students. If you're tuning in online, college students, we want you to be members of the church. This is where a lot of young people think, you know what, I'm young, I don't know, like, as much as these 40 or 50 years old or whatever. Like, what am I supposed to give to the church? No. That is absolutely the wrong thinking. Paul talks about right here in 1 Corinthians 12. Look, if you think you're the more unimpressive part of the body, you are not. You are just as important as every other part of the body. And so even though you're young, hey, you know what? For you too, you should become a member as well. Thirdly is you must take a class. We're gonna kind of do an abridged version. In the future, we're going to make the class a little bit longer. Okay, we're planning on making four-hour classes on a Saturday morning, okay? I know that's a sacrifice, right? But we're going to do an abridged version because we want to get as many members on board as possible initially, okay? And so we're going to do one class that's 4 hours on a Saturday, okay? Starting in August and September, we're going to be rolling out these classes. I'm first going to be doing the classes for our elders, deacons, and staff to make sure that I get adequate feedback. But once the class is completed, we're going to roll it out to the larger church. And we want you guys to participate in these classes, okay? That's the first step. The second thing is, in this class, right, you will learn what it means to be a church member. You will learn specifically, more specifically what it means, and then you will make a covenant. Right, you're going to learn about the theology, the mission, the vision, the values of this church. And we're going to essentially, like marriage, say, hey, are you ready to commit to this church? Like more than Costco, more than 24-hour fitness, the analogy that I can give to church membership is of marriage. Are you going to marry this church? Are you going to be here with this church through thick and through thin? Or are you going to leave at the first sign of trouble? Are you going to be here through sickness, through health, to sort of death do you part, right? Not, of course, it's not going to be forever, but, you know, of course, if you move cities or whatnot, then you can transfer your church membership. But in some sense, right, we want you to be committed to this church, and we want this church to be committed to you. And so once you've gone ahead and taken the class and you've taken the vows, then you become a church member. And throughout all of this process, what we want to start doing is have the elders be much more involved in your lives at a membership level. And so the elders will check up on you. In fact, before you become a member, we're hoping that the elders will interview you and ask you about your life to just get to know you. Initially, in the abridged version, we might need to do, you know, some writing and some different things for the elders to kind of get to know you a little bit better. But we want that interaction to happen on at least an annual level, where the elders are checking up on you and making sure that you're doing well, that you're following Christ, that you're living for Him, and that you're doing all the things that Christ wants you to do. Okay? Now, finally, here's this, right? Look, when Christ came to earth, He didn't come to be served, but He says this, right? I came to serve as a ransom for many. And ultimately, at the end of the day, what church membership is all about is trying to get you all, including myself, to become more and more like Christ. That's the goal. We have to devote ourselves to becoming more and more and more like Christ. And guess what Christ did? Right? Christ submitted Himself to the Father's will. Right? In this Trinitarian relationship where there was Father, Son, and Spirit, the Son, Jesus Christ, said, Father, I'm going to submit myself to your will. I'm going to obey you. Even though I'm equal in power, status, might, and glory, I'm going to submit to you. In fact, I'm going to submit myself to earthly masters as well. Jesus Christ submitted Himself under Pontius Pilate. This is why He was crucified, killed, and buried, was because He submitted Himself. Jesus Christ was the freest person, but He also submitted Himself to authority, to submission. And in Jesus Christ, He came to serve and to love and to give, and He spent His time pouring into His church, not abandoning His church, loving His church, and laying down His life for the church. Christ did not come to just simply experience the benefits of His creation. He did not come to just eat the fruits of His creation, but He came to love, to serve, and to die for His creation. And He died and He served this church as well. And Christ is asking us to become more and more like Him. Not to come to just eat, but to feed. Not to come to just experience, but to give. And friends, this is what church membership is all about, helping us to become more and more in the image of Christ. And friends, that's what I want for our church. That's what I want for the churches universal and global. And again, if you're not ready to commit to membership, that's okay. That's okay. This will be a process. We'll talk through this. We'll walk you through it, right? Maybe for you, you just want to take the class and just give it a feel, but you don't want to really commit. That's okay too. You can just take the class to find out what the church is more about. In fact, we're going to call this class New Life 101 because it's just an educational program to help you understand more about our church. So if you just want to take the class and not become a member, that's okay too. We want to leave it to your free will because Christ was free and yet He submitted as well. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I know that, Lord, for many, this is a new concept. This is a new sort of way of thinking of church, Lord. And Father, we just ask, God, that you help us to process this information after the sermon is over, Lord, especially for those who've been tuning in online. Lord, we pray for them and we ask, Lord, that during this time after the sermon is over, Lord, that they'd be able to process some of the things that were said in the sermon. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would help them really, Lord, to think upon, to gaze upon you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and to see, God, if this church membership thing makes sense at all. And Lord, as they gaze upon your Son, Jesus Christ, as they worship Him more fully, Lord, as they bend their knee to your will and to your lordship, Lord, would you help them to see, God, the benefits, God, of membership. And Lord, we do pray, God, as we move forward as a church from here on out, Lord, that you would unite us, that you would give us your grace, your humility, your love, your submission, your death on a cross, Lord, to really help us, Lord, to become better church members, to love one another, to serve one another, to be with one another, God, and to ultimately, Lord, serve you, Lord, and your worship and your glory. And Lord, we pray, God, for all of those who are tuning in online who do not know you, Lord, we continuously pray and ask, Lord, that you would reveal to them, Lord, that church is not all about this show. It's not just about presenting a good face, but Lord, deep inside, Lord, we want to be healthy Christians who follow and devote themselves after you. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all rise in response. As we sing this song, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to convict us.